I should be writing number 408 for the week of May 1st, 2019. Welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. And today is not a discussion on all the things I'm procrastinating on, but it's actually about things I've learned. See, I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley. And this is going to be mostly about character development. But if you haven't played, I'm just talking about characters. And if you have played, well, there might be some spoilers. Essentially, I've been going through a couple of playthroughs and marrying different people. And I realized after several hours of doing this that the person I like the best so far is Shane, the abrasive drunk. And when you start out, you meet people, and of course, it's programmed to, you know, treat you a little standoffish to start out with, because, you know, you don't embrace a total stranger. And as you get to know them, by talking to, or pretty much giving them presents, they will warm up to you, and you will have little plot points throughout their lives. Or plot points to get to know them better, little issues or experiences they have. For example, there's the cute goth boy, Sebastian, and being the plain girl who never had the guts to go after any cute goth boys but admired them from afar, I, of course, wanted to digitally date him immediately. So I realized that the rom-coms are always wrong, only this game is a little bit more like reality in some ways than it is like a rom-com, because the sexy, mysterious, brooding guy turns into brooding guy as you get to know him better. And then he opens up to you a little bit, but all you learn is that he really wants to go to the city and likes to ride his motorcycle. So when you marry him, he moves into your house, and then he says things like, "I need to be by myself today," which I can respect. Except that because it's a farming game, I get up at 6 o'clock and I run around the town, or I farm, or I fish, or I mine, until about midnight. So he's alone all the time. And then when he needs time alone, he walks through the town. And I go up to him and I try to say hi, and he doesn't say anything to me. Not even hello. Not even a reminder. This is my alone time. And this was the happy marriage. So, I was getting more and more disenchanted. And then, right when I decided to dump him, he asked me if I wanted to have a baby, so I really dumped him. And went and got the divorce. 50,000 gold. Not too bad of a deal at this point in the game. And then I went for the guy who I initially called Fabio, because he's has long flowing hair, long flowing gold red hair. He talks about his hair a lot. He's also a poet who's working on a novel, only he's like most people who say they're poets and working on a novel, and he walks around talking about writing all the time. But you know, he's pretty, he's poetic, I might as well romance him. We have some issues. We see some issues in his life as the plot goes on. I give him advice on what kind of book to write. He invites me to the reading after he finishes it, and then he takes me on a rowboat ride to confess his love, and we get married. And then the marriage it's fine. He continues to be poetic and flowery, always kind of happy, but Just like with Sebastian, who starts out boring and sad and remains boring and sad, Elliot starts out pleasant but boring and then remains pleasant but boring. Now Shane is the guy who you see get out every morning and walk over to the grocery store, and whenever you try to say hello to him, he's like, "Why are you bothering me? Go away, get out of my face. I don't know you." Real charmer. He's also got the he's not even attractive. He's got the 5 o'clock shadow of somebody who, like, got up late, ran to work without shaving, while nursing a hangover and hoping that you don't smell the fact that he's got whiskey in his coffee. And he's just abrasive and a jerk. But because I enjoy seeing the little plot points, I went ahead and started giving him beer, which made him really warm up to me, because that's one of his favorite things, is beer. So, but with Shane, as you go through his little plot points, you talk to him and he's kind of depressing and gives you a beer. And then later you find him drunk, collapsed, fall down drunk on the edge of a cliff around with a whole bunch of beer cans around him. And the next one you find him drunk at home yelling at his goddaughter. And it's like, this guy is messed up. And you think, well, maybe I don't need to be friends with him anymore. This is trouble. This is a very dark part of the game. But then the next day he comes over and he's like, "I'm sorry you had to see me that way. I want to thank you for taking care of me, and I'm going into the city today to get help." So then when he comes back, and, like, of course he comes back immediately because game time. But when you next have a plot point with him, he's helping his aunt, who he lives with her farming. She raises animals, so he's raising chickens. And he has, you know, a focus in his life, and he likes chickens. And at this point in the game, you unlock the ability to buy blue chickens, which is great and unexpected. And the only thing that's a little weird about Shane's storyline is he, it sort of implies that alcohol is the symptom, not the cause of his problems, which also implies it's not addictive. So after Shane goes through his therapy and you get married, he continues to drink, but not in a upsetting fashion. It's just what he does. So that's a little, you know, in real life, if you find somebody who's going through those experiences that you see Shane in, you want, like, therapy and AA, but whatever. It's still interesting. And the thing is, it's a character arc. Shane's a real jerk. As you get to know him, he warms up to you, but then he shows you the bad part of himself. And he's in a lot of trouble. And he's vulnerable. And he shows his worst sides to you and thanks you for continuing to be his friend. And I believe there are choices to not be his friend after that. It's like, no, you're a loser, go away. I mean, your friendship levels can go up and down in this game. You don't hit level 8 and then stay there forever no matter what you say. I was just doing all the pleasant things in order to increase the friendship. The thing about it is Elliot or Shane changes. And that's what makes it interesting. Sebastian starts out brooding and boring and ends up brooding and boring. Elliot starts out poetic and boring and ends up poetic and boring. Shane starts out abrasive, then he's fall down drunk, and then he's happy with chickens. And this is why I have found him the most interesting spouse in Stardew Valley. And it's that classic, a lot of beginning writers want to be kind to their characters because they love their characters. But the reason why we put our characters through so many terrible things is because we want to show off how they react to get out of it or not. And it makes me wonder, the writing in this game is just interesting because it is so nuanced and interesting with Shane, while the other two guys, not so much. There are lots of other romances to do. From what I've seen from videos online, I don't know if any of them interest me enough, although I know hardly nothing about the doctor or the woman who talks a lot about foraging food. There are there's one male and one female who are spectacularly stupid, and they say spectacularly stupid things, and they revel in their own appearance. I mean, Elliot likes his hair. So there's a woman, Haley, and a man, Alex, who are both mind-bogglingly stupid and revel in the stupidity and their shallowness and their love of their looks and of shopping, hair, being unkind to others, being non-charitable. And I'm kind of interested in seeing what happens with their romances, only they're really irritating, so I don't know if I can stand it. Shane's just plain old abrasive, but he doesn't, like, talk about how he threw away something that he could have donated only because it weirded him out to think of somebody else wearing his clothes, which just made me want to punch Alex in the mouth when he said that. So, the characters in Stardew Valley have a lot of interesting layers, some of them more so than others. But if you're looking for something to distract you for a little while and get some very interesting character lessons, and also to see kind of what not to do, then Stardew Valley is a pleasant little farming game. And it's available on nearly every platform that I know of, including tablet and phone. So, I am not endorsed at all by Stardew Valley. I'm just saying I've been playing it a lot and it's making me think about character. So technically, it's work. Of course, I still have not gone very far in my novel, so I should probably be working more. Only that's real work and not Stardew Valley work. When it comes to my characters, I realize I'm just psyching myself out. And at some point, I really have to stop thinking about it and stop researching and just work it out in the actual text. So that's this week's goal. Although my newest toy is having a tarot deck beside my desk, and I use it to give me some inspiration on either characters or plot points to make the narrative a little bit more interesting. Like today, I drew strength, which apparently, as per the tiny little minimalistic booklet I have, indicates willpower, mastery, and discipline. So, I'm going to see how I can put willpower, mastery, and discipline into my book. I think one of the things that I'm struggling with right now is I've got a couple of alien races to put in my book, and I don't want to make the Star Trek problem, which is make alien races identical to each other. You know, every Klingon is obsessed with being a warrior and having honor. And every Ferengi is obsessed with highly patriarchal society and money. I think Deep Space Nine got a little bit better than that, but it all started out pretty, what's the word, monoculture, I guess? So, need to figure out how to set those apart. But again, I think I'll work best just by writing. So thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. You can reach me at merverse.com and email me at mightymer@gmail.com. You can support the Patreon, which helps keep the lights on, at patreon.com/mightymer. If you just put in a dollar, that means you get early episodes of the podcast, and sometimes I make longer podcasts just for the Patreon supporters. And then there are other perks too, but you can check that out at the Patreon site. That's it for this week. Hope you're getting work done. I hope I'm getting work done. Because we both should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be riding.
I should be working on my craft. Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.